Johnny Blades is our Pacific reporter from RNZ's Pacific team. Good morning, Johnny.
Talofa, how are you?
Really good, thank you. Wonderful filmmaking here. It sounds like they've had an amazing experience.
Very cool.
Let's go to Samoa, though, of course, where this is really, this measles, number of measles cases is really impacting on the community.
Yeah, the number has just exceeded 500, and as the health officials are saying, they're tracing this outbreak back to the Auckland, the New Zealand outbreak. Three deaths in Apia, they've been linked to measles, and it's very serious.
What is the latest that we're hearing, that the possibility that a two-year-old who's died, this may be yet another case in the toll?
Well, yeah, it may be a fourth. Too early to tell, but there's, you know, tests pending. But it's now clear, I guess, that this outbreak, we can link it to the vulnerability that was created when there were two babies died last year after having measles vaccine jabs. You know, that set off a lot of panic and fear in the community, naturally. There was an 8-month suspension of the vaccination program while officials investigated. It was subsequently found that, you know, the deaths were the result of an incorrectly mixed vaccine. So now, you know, the MMR vaccine program's back on, but because of that, you know, there's a lot of cover that was missed, and that's why they're so vulnerable. But you know, the health officials are just telling us that they're, you know, they've got this big campaign now. It's an awareness campaign. They're getting people at the borders. They're closing schools. There's a lot of disruption, but they've lowered the age for the first dose of MMR from, I think, 15 months to 6, and the second dose would be at 12 months. So, you know, they're really, it's all hands on deck to try and contain this thing. But, you know, there are other countries in the region which have outbreaks now too. Tonga has over 100 cases. Just overnight we heard that Fiji has an outbreak, just a couple of cases, but it's, you know, it's a worry.
Tonga, I think it's anticipated, has better vaccination coverage than Samoa.
Yeah, they've got far wider coverage. But I think, you know, with Samoa, that things were tracking okay until the stuff last year.
It
really derailed at a terrible point, you know.
Now, Bougainville's referendum, how many people were eligible to vote?
Over 200,000 people. You know, the population of Bougainville is somewhere approaching 300,000, but this is, it's quite an achievement because in PNG, so Bougainville is an autonomous region within Papua New Guinea, elections aren't always the most organised, so they're really stoked that they've got this many people enrolled. There's been a very comprehensive enrolment program and awareness program around this referendum that's coming up in 2 weeks' time. There's a 2-week polling period. Bertie Ahern, the former Irish Prime Minister, is heading the Bougainville Referendum Commission, which is sort of implementing the whole process, and things seem to be tracking well. You know,
let's talk about the history and how we got here. Why is it happening and happening now?
Yeah, so the referendum is the sort of ultimate provision of the Bougainville Peace Agreement, which was forged with New Zealand help back in 2001, following the almost decade-long civil war in Bougainville, which, you know, left around 10, 15,000 people dead. A terrible conflict, which in some ways Bougainville and Papua New Guinea indeed hasn't really recovered fully from. So this was part of the peace agreement, that there would be an independence referendum before 2020. So here we are now. It was delayed from earlier in the year because the fear was that they weren't quite organised enough. The problem was that the Papua New Guinea government really hadn't extended the resources and the money that it had promised Bougainville, you know, as part of the provisions of this peace agreement. But things are, I think, heading pretty well.
Are there security concerns, given the history or just given the current situation?
Well, the things are pretty peaceful now, and indeed just this week there's been a major reconciliation ceremony between former Bougainville combatants or militant groups with the Papua New Guinea Defence Force. In fact, you know, it gives a sort of an assurance to people that things are going to be okay. But Bougainville's been pretty peaceful for many years now, and I think most people will tell you that, you know, it's a peaceful place, and that this vote, because so many people are really relishing the opportunity to head into the vote, that things will go okay. You know, let's hope.
All right, and that's due to be happening when?
So polling begins on the 23rd of November, yep. And it runs for about 2 weeks. These things are always quite fluid in Papua New Guinea. Because
what happens if the vote is a yes? Are we essentially looking at, well, the newest country? I think the latest was South Sudan, wasn't it?
That's
just
right.
A few short years ago.
Yeah.
This is what would happen. How quickly would it happen?
Well, not overnight, because what has to happen is, you know, the PNG National Parliament has to ratify it. Has to ratify the outcome of this referendum. But, you know, before they do that, there will be this sort of period of consultation between Bougainville and Papua New Guinea. So it's either independence, that's one option. The other option is more autonomy within Papua New Guinea. They've already got a measure of autonomy. I guess there'd be more transferal of powers and stuff. But, you know, what we're hearing is that most Bougainvillians want independence. So I'd be pretty surprised if there wasn't a strong majority for that.
Thanks very much, Johnny Blades from RNZ Pacific.